speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
And we're hopeful wherever you're listening to your broadcast today that you have the moments to think and to spend with us in the study of the Word of God. You know, the 66 books of the Bible are so important to us. They are divided into three different dispensations, that is, the patriarchal, the Jewish, and the Christian dispensation. And since the cross, all have been under the Christian dispensation. Therefore, all are under obligation to obey the gospel of Christ and to come into the church of Christ, so that men may be saved and know the will of the Lord and obey it. And we've been talking this week about the one body. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, he said, "As the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body." Here we learn then very simply, the plan of salvation consummates itself in baptism. We must hear the gospel or we wouldn't know what to do. We must believe it, repent of our sins, confess the name of Christ, and of course baptism is that which brings us into Christ. It brings us in contact with His blood, where our sins are forgiven, remitted, washed away, and then, of course, we're members of that one body. We've been talking about that one body this week and the fellowship that we need to have one with another. You know, there's some among us today who say that we cannot disfellowship a whole congregation. But Jesus did, as we pointed out in our program yesterday. In Revelation 2 and 3, there were seven churches in Asia that He wrote to, and He is the authority and He is the head, my friends. And we must follow Christ the head if we want to be one in Him and if we want to have that fellowship. You know, if it were unchristian to disfellowship a whole congregation, well, we could not have disfellowship the Christian church for putting instrumental music and those other things in to their worship which were not in harmony with God's Word. Those who teach that we ought not to separate ourselves from such false teaching and practice should also be disfellowship for teaching false doctrine themselves. You know, there are also those who say that members of a congregation must always follow the elders. And that is true only if the elders follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Be ye imitators of me, as I also am of Christ." But you know, when elders get wise above that which is written and follow the dictates of men, we have no alternative but to disfellowship elders, or preachers who preach that way, or whomsoever leaves the teaching of Christ. Now, it has been told that we have taught that the church must always follow the elders regardless of where they lead. Such a statement, my friends, is absurd and absolutely without foundation. I have contended, as long as I have been preaching the gospel, that we are to disfellowship anything and everything that is not taught in God's book. You know, to rebuke elders privately, of course, is important, as well as preaching and in writing when they are wrong. Just recently, though, we might have pointed out that the error of an elder in a church who claims to be have the ability to speak in tongues today is wrong. And when we point that out, some say, "Well, why didn't you go to him privately?" Well, listen, friend, his doctrine was public. He was putting that out by radio. He was putting that out in writing. Now, I respect and honor elders as long as they stand for the truth. But I, like David, hate every false way, whether it be taught by a preacher, an elder, or anyone else. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, "Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now it seems from having read many church bulletins that today some people do not understand the meaning of New Testament fellowship. We see occasionally that some church is going to meet after worship for a period of fellowship. Well, working together in the worship and work, as God has commanded the church to do, is New Testament fellowship. When we're in the worship services of the church, we're in fellowship in Christ. Some seem to think then that the fellowship is just a cup of coffee and a donut. Now, I understand that we can eat together. I understand there's nothing wrong with that. And I understand what they mean by fellowship in that. But there's really New Testament fellowship that has been purchased with the blood of Christ. And that, of course, is in the Lord's church. Wherever we are, And whether we are gathered together or separated, if we're serving God, we're in fellowship. If we're obeying the gospel, we have fellowship. Now, to say that after the worship we're going to meet for a fellowship meeting is to say the least, or in the least, misleading, isn't it? It suggests that there is no fellowship in the worship and work of the Lord. But when we understand that what we are meaning there is that we're going to have a social gathering, we're going to eat together, nothing wrong with that. But that is something that God has not commanded in His work and worship, and therefore could not be included in the fellowship of the church, even though it may be engaged in as a social act. Yet it should not be connected with or spoken of as the work of the church. Now, these things are a work of the home, but not a work of the church. You know, the church at Corinth had perverted the Lord's Supper into a social event. Paul said to them, "When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before the other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is filled or drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death until he come." That's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20 through 26. Now, Paul did not condemn social gatherings as such, but he condemned it in the worship of the church. We do not mean, of course, in the church building. We're talking about the work and worship of the church. Some say, oh, it'd be wrong to eat in the church building, or it would be wrong to drink in the church building. I've seen even those who said this who would drink out of the water fountain, and they would drink or eat in their office, some preachers who denied you could eat in the church building. But my friends, this is not condemning eating in the church building. If it is, it would be wrong to eat anywhere except at home. Because he says here, what? Have you not houses to eat in? And do you not despise the church of God and shame them that have not? Well, what was happening here was that they were eating during the worship service as if it were a social gathering. So Paul did not condemn social gatherings as such, even in the church building. But he condemned it in the worship of the church. Whatever we do in worship must be ordained and commanded by the Lord. There are five items of New Testament worship which we must all abide by. There is singing, without an instrument, of course, just singing. There is preaching, without additions of creeds, we must preach the Bible. There is giving, and that, of course, without a garage sale or something else to make up money for the work of the church. No, the work of the church is by giving free will on the first day of the week. And then, of course, there is partaking of the Lord's Supper. How strange it is that some want to remember the Lord on Easter and on Christmas, which he never ordained nor commanded. But they will forsake the assembling on the first day of the week, which he said, this do in remembrance of me. Well, oftentimes we're not all following the Lord, are we? And when we're not, those who are not in fellowship. You know, Paul instructed the Corinthian church in the first chapter of his book to the Corinthians, how to have fellowship in the work of the Lord. Now, here it is, my friends. Read it with me closely. Now, I beseech you, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or by His authority, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Well, if all people were perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment, based upon the same Word of God, there would be no divisions among us, would there? We'd all be one. We'd be in Christ. And in that respect, we would all be fitly framed together, and we would have fellowship that would prevail among us. Now, there is no one, my friends, who can find any better plan than this, is there? we need to all speak the same thing because we all follow the same word. We would therefore be perfectly joined together. That would be fellowship, and only those who would turn from that teaching are to be disfellowshipped. Division, you see, is based upon opinions and the doctrines of men. And Jesus condemned the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites, saying, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Oh, how many denominational bodies teach for doctrines the commandments of men. They can't find their doctrines in the Bible. They can't find their following in the Bible. But they go ahead and do it anyway. They say it doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you teach. Oh, but it does. And if we do teach only the doctrines of men and the commandments of men in a part of our obedience, then it is vain worship which we offer unto God. It is wrong, my friends, for anyone to fellowship any doctrine that is based upon the opinions and doctrines of men. We must have a "Thus saith the Lord" for everything we do in worship unto God or in our work in the kingdom. And it's what it says in Colossians 3:16 and 17, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, whatsoever you say or do, let it be in the name or in the authority of the Lord Jesus."